to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter. If you have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew. If you access on your phone or your tablet, follow along with us as we begin this morning a new series just for this week and the next 2 weeks. Just a short three-part series called Be Transformed. Say that with me. Be transformed. I want to challenge you to commit these next couple of weeks. I don't say this as an advertisement or as some kind of trickery or gimmick to get people to be in church. But I want to challenge you that this morning and the next two Sundays, you're already here for week one. So you're one-third of the way there. Commit these next couple of weeks. Hear me out for these 3 weeks and see if God won't do something special and something new in your life. Because I still believe that the Christ who was slain has the power to change lives today. And I want to see God do some amazing things in my life, your life, and in this place. And if you will commit and say, these three Sundays, and allow God to do something special in life, I believe that if we will do that, God will honor our faith and our trust in Him. And so this morning, I want to begin this short three-part series called Be Transformed. We're going to take our series text from Romans chapter 12. I asked you to turn there. The Bible says, I beseech you, or the Apostle Paul says, I challenge you by the mercies of God, in light of the fact that God's mercy has given us life and breath to start with, that we present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable worship. In other words, it's reasonable to us, because of all that God's done for us, that we would live our life in a way that pleases Him. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Come on, say that with me. Be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect or mature will of God. I want you to notice in this verse that the Bible tells us there are two ways to live our life. We either live conformed or we live transformed. There's only two ways to live life. We're living life either conformed, that is, being fashioned or made to look like, think like, and act like everyone else, or we are being transformed, that is, we are being changed or made to look like, to think, to act like Jesus. How many know life changes every single day? How many understand that? How many know every moment life is changing? You know, think about just our bodies. Do you realize that at one time I was 6 feet four, 180 pounds, and had black hair? And a mustache. How many know I'm shorter, I'm fatter, and I'm grayer? Life is always changing. Every day things are changing. Things are changing all around us, all inside of us, all about. And listen, either we're changing in the sense that we're conforming, or we're changing in the sense that we're transforming. And my challenge in this series is that we would be transformed. We would live our life not in the sense that we're changing, that we're conforming, but that we are changing, that we are being transformed. Conforming means we are changing to the thinking, the behavior, and the agenda of the world around us. Transforming means we are changing to the thinking, the behavior, and to the purpose of God. And every one of us this morning, one of those two things is happening, because all of us are changing. Your life is either changing and it's looking a little bit more like the world around us, Or it's looking and thinking, our thinking is changing to more to the popular opinion of the world around us. Or our world or our life is changing, and we're starting to behave and act like everybody else around us. Or we are changing to the place where we are living by the agenda and the lifestyle of the world. Or we are living transformed and we are changing each day to thinking a little bit more like Jesus, acting a little bit more like Jesus, and living out the purpose of Jesus in our life. There's only two ways to live: conformed or conforming, or transformed, transforming. You know, isn't it interesting that we spend most of our life trying to be like everybody else? Because we don't want to stick out, we don't want to be different. And yet God is trying so hard to get us to be like Jesus and not like everybody else. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's my big idea this morning. It's Easter Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection is all about transformation. That's what resurrection's about. That's what Easter is about. Easter is not just an event about new life. It is the experience of new life. Easter in true Christianity is not about turning over a new leaf. It's about living out a new life. Resurrection is about transformation. Jesus being transferred from being dead to alive, being transferred from defeat to victory, being transferred from despair to hope, being transferred to weeping into joy, from defeat seemingly to victory. Resurrection is about transformation. It's about experiencing new life. Romans 6:4 tells us, therefore, we are buried with Christ through baptism, and that we might, like Christ, be raised with him, that we should walk or live daily in newness of life. You see, resurrection is all about that our life is transformed and changed to live like Jesus Christ. How many know that's God's goal and God's purpose, that we be transformed? A man who lived all of his life in the back mountains of Tennessee found himself in the big city for the first time. He was standing in the lobby of a fancy hotel, and he had never seen an elevator. He stood there, watched, mesmerized as the flashing lights and the door opened. At that particular moment, he noticed the door opened, and up hobbled with a cane an elderly woman, bent over and frail and haggard. She stepped into the elevator. The door closed. A few minutes went by, and as he was fascinated, he saw the door open, and out walked this young, beautiful, vibrant, smartly dressed woman. The man thought a moment. He turned to his youngest son. He said, Billy, go get your mother. Hurry. Ladies, don't be mad at me. How many know there's no door that opens that a person can step into and be transformed from old to new? How many know if we had one of those, how many know it would be a bestseller? But I want to say to you that there is an entrance of a tomb that is open. That if we will step into today, that if we will step into that open door, we can be transformed from an old life to a new life. From despair to hope. From weeping to joy. From defeat to victory. How many know that the angel and God rolled away the stone from the door, not so Jesus could get out? How many know he was already gone? The stone was rolled away not for Jesus to get out, but for us to go in. And just like that first Easter morning when they ran And the two disciples ran, and one jockeyed ahead of the other. And they ran, and they went into the tomb. And when they saw the grave clothes scattered, they believed. And their lives were changed forever and transformed by the power of God and by the power of the resurrection. Over these next three Sundays, this morning and the next 2 weeks, and again, I want to challenge you. Give three Sundays and see if God won't do something special in your life, that God won't do something new in your life. This morning and over the next couple weeks, I'm going to give you three words. Three B-E words for being transformed. Three B words for how we can experience positive change and spiritual growth in our life. I believe we all could want and we all should desire some positive change in our life and should want spiritual growth in our life. And there are three B's that we're going to give you over the next 3 weeks. This morning, to be transformed, first of all, to be transformed, we need to believe. Believe. Everything starts with what we believe. If we want to experience transformation, if we want to move from weeping to joy, if we want to move from defeat to victory, if we want to move from despair to hope, if we want to see positive change and we want to see spiritual growth in our life, the first step in transformation is to believe. To be transformed, we have to believe. We have to believe. I want you to look with me at John 11 and verses 25 to 27. Now, the context of John 11 is that Jesus shows up 4 days late, mind you. Lazarus has already been sick, and Lazarus has already died, and Lazarus has already been buried in the tomb. Jesus shows up to meet Mary and Martha, his two sisters, and all of the family and friends who had gathered to mourn with them. And as they're gathering with the backdrop of the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus steps on the scene and makes this powerful and profound declaration: I am the resurrection and the life. He that, say it with me, believes. You see, it's all about what we believe. It starts with what we believe. Jesus said resurrection and transformation starts with what you believe. I am the resurrection and life. He that believes, say it with me, believes in me. Though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whosoever, come on, believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha this important and critical question: do you believe? What do you believe, Martha? Do you believe? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, that day, Jesus introduced us to the two choices and the two sides of life and living. First of all, I want you to consider with me the human side of life. How many know every one of us here today lives on the human side of life? Come on, squeeze. I was going to have you squeeze somebody else, but that'd be dangerous this morning. Just pinch yourself a moment. How many know we're all human this morning? We're all flesh and blood. We all feel the same. We all bleed the same. We all are created in a physical body, an earth suit. There's a human side of life. We all live on the human side of life. And when Jesus showed up at the tomb of Lazarus that day, he saw people living on the human side of life. We see in the account, first of all, we see that three things take place, and there are three characteristics that we all can identify with on the human side of life. First of all, there were the questions. How many know there are questions when you live on the human side? Is there any human beings here this morning that have a few questions about life? Have a few questions about God, a few questions about death, a few questions about what happens in our world and what's going on. Is there anybody living on the human side that has any questions this morning? Just me and Stephen. Okay, well, that's... Well, the rest of you should change places with me this morning. When Jesus showed up, the first thing Martha did was run to him. And in verse 21 to 24, she said, "Lord, why?" Nobody here has ever asked that question. "Lord, why did my brother have to die?" The questions on the human side of life. "Lord, why did my brother have..." And then in the next verse, in verse 22, she says, "Lord, how come this happened to us?" Two questions that every one of us have asked, because every one of us lives on the human side of life. Every one of us have faced a situation that raised questions we don't have the answers to. Lord, why? Lord, how come? The second thing and second characteristic of the human side of life are the emotions. Anybody here ever get a little emotional? Oh, there's a few more of you. Thank you for joining the party today. Thank you for being honest. We all live on the human side of it. We all have questions we don't have answers to, and we all feel emotions that we don't know how to deal with. Mary and Martha at the tomb of their brother Lazarus, Jesus shows up, and in verse 31, the Bible says that Mary fell down and wept. Wow. Emotion. She just collapsed and wept. Verse 33 tells us that those who came to be support to Mary and Martha, it says they were weeping with her. Wow. Emotion. And you know, even verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, only two words, says this: Jesus wept. The human side of life raises questions we don't have the answers to. Lord, why? How come? The human side of life stirs emotions that we don't know how to deal with. Mary wept. All the family and friends that gathered were weeping. And even Jesus, who's touched with the feelings of our humanity, wept. The third characteristic of the human side of life is not only does it raise questions that we don't know how to answer, not only does it stir emotions that we don't know how to deal with, how many know it causes frustrations that just drive us crazy? Frustration. Questions lead to emotions. Emotions lead to frustration. In verse 32, Martha says, "Lord, if only you had been here sooner." Frustration. You could sense it in Martha's. "Lord, if only you..." Why did you come 4 days late? Why didn't you answer when we prayed? How come you weren't there before? If only. You can sense the frustration. And then what's interesting is all you could hear the whisper through the crowd. And in verse 37, it says, "Those in the crowd said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind not save this man from dying?" Wow. I mean, no, that's a frustration that we've all thought. How come? God, if you could do that, why can't you do this? If you could do that, if you did all those wonderful things then, why don't you do it now for me? Frustrations. We all live on the human side of life. We all live with questions we don't have answers to, with emotions that we don't know how to handle, and frustrations that we don't know how to deal with. It was human. It was just human. It was honest. You got to love the honesty of Martha. You got to love the honesty of Mary. You got to love the honesty of those that were there that day with the questions, the emotions, and the frustrations. But I want to submit to you today that that's not the only side of life. There are two sides to life. The second side of life is what I call the hopeful side of life. The hopeful side of life. The human side of life has questions we don't have answers to, emotions that we don't know how to deal with, and frustrations that drive us crazy. But there is a hopeful side of life. What's interesting is you would have thought with all those questions, with all that emotion, and with all that frustration, with everybody buzzing in the crowd, that Jesus would have sat down and answered all their questions, right? Would have dealt with all their emotions, patted them on the back, and said, oh, I feel really bad for you, and oh, I'm sorry, you're frustrated, and here, let me explain everything. Let me just tell you everything I know. Let me just tell you all that God has in his mind. Let me explain all. You would think that's what Jesus would do, but that's not what he did. Instead, Jesus made the statement we read. He didn't pat him on the back. He didn't comfort anybody. It doesn't say he went over and hugged a few people. It doesn't say he said, oh, it'll all be all right. You know what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes. How many know Jesus didn't want to deal with questions, emotions, and frustrations? He wanted to know, what do you believe? I am the resurrection and life. He that believes, not he that has questions. He that believes, not you who have all the emotion, not you who are frustrated. Listen, he who believes can see death turn to life, can experience transformation and new life. He that believes. He that believes. How many know this morning what matters most in your life and my life is not what we think? It's not necessarily what we feel or even what we see. What matters most today is what we believe. Because it's believing that brings transformation. It's believing that produces resurrection life. It's believing that turns weeping into joy. It's believing that begins the process of turning despair into hope and defeat into victory. I am the resurrection and the life. And then what did Jesus do? He turned to Martha and he'd say, Martha, you know, we'll talk about all those questions later. No, he didn't do that. He'll say, Martha, come here. Come give me a big hug. That's probably what I would have done. But that's not what Jesus did. He didn't try to explain. He just said, Martha, here, I just told you that if you believe, you can experience new life. And then he asked, do you believe? How many know he didn't say, Martha, what do you think? How many know he didn't want to know what Martha thought? He didn't say, Martha, what do you feel right now? Let's talk about your feelings. Listen, I'm not diminishing the feelings. We all feel them. But Jesus said, let's move from thinking and feeling and frustration to believing. Martha, do you believe? And I love what Martha said. Yes, Lord. Come on. Yes, Lord. You can almost read between lines. Yes, Lord, I still have those questions. Yes, Lord, I'm still battling these emotions. Yes, Lord, I'm really, really frustrated with you, and I'm not sure I like you, but I believe. Come on now. Yes, Lord, I believe. Let me say this. Please catch this. Martha moved from the human side of life to the hopeful side of life. Martha decided, I'm not just going to live only in the human side. I'm also going to live on the hopeful side. Listen, all of us live in the human side and on the human side of life. We all have questions, emotions, and frustration, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's human. But we don't have to live only on the human side. We can also live on the hopeful side. Listen, that doesn't make you schizophrenic. That just means that you can be human and you can be hopeful at the same time. If we believe. If we believe. If we believe. You see, today every one of us has a choice. As we come to the tomb of Jesus, the resurrection, Easter Sunday morning, just like they had a choice that day at Lazarus' tomb. We have a choice. We can choose to believe, to not believe, and live only on the human side of life and stay overwhelmed. Or we can choose to believe and live not only on the human side, but also on the hopeful side. And be an overcomer. We have a choice. Stay on the one side of life and just live there only. And say, I choose not to believe. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not gonna believe it. I'm not gonna do it. And we can stay overwhelmed, or we can choose to not only live on the human side, because we're gonna be human, but we can also move to the hopeful side. And we can be overcomers. In life, how did Martha move from the human side to the hopeful side? How did she say, Lord, I know I'm already living on the human side, but now I choose to believe and I'm going to also live on the hopeful side? How do we do that? Let me give you three statements. First of all, if we're going to move from the human side of life to also the hopeful side of life, we need to have a revelation of who Jesus is. We need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus said to Martha and everybody there, I am the resurrection and the life. He introduced them to himself. And he didn't say, listen, he wasn't saying, listen, he didn't say, I was back then the resurrection. He didn't say, I will be one day when we get to heaven. He said, I am right now today, right in the middle of your questions, right in the middle of your emotions, right in the middle of your frustrations, right in the middle of the backdrop of this tomb and all that life is, right in the middle of the human side of life, I am the resurrection and life. That's who I am. And why Martha believed and moved from the human side to the hopeful side is because she got a revelation that Jesus wasn't just in the past and isn't just in the future. He's there right now for me today. And today, if you're going to see a transformation in your life, and you're going to move from the human side to the hopeful side, and you're going to move from despair to hope, and mourning to joy, and from defeat to victory, you need to believe. And as you believe, your believing starts by getting a revelation of who Jesus is today as the resurrection and the life. We need to see Jesus for who he really is. The problem is that there's too many opinions about who Jesus really is. If I went around this room with a microphone, or I took a microphone on the street and asked people, to tell me, who's Jesus? How many know you'd get all kinds of answers? He's a good man, a teacher, a prophet, a miracle worker, a social man, social worker. All kinds of opinions, all kinds of theories and ideas of who Jesus is. And listen, if you see Jesus as only a religious guy and a religious leader and a prophet and a miracle worker and a good man who lived a long time ago, a good teacher, if you only see them there, there's no transformation. There's going to be no moving from the human side to the hopeful side. But today, if we will see him as more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet, more than just some good man who lived a long time, until we see him as the resurrection and the life, as the one who is the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, and the King. Because Martha said, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. He's got to be more than just a buddy or someone you add to your life or someone that makes you feel a little religious on Sunday. He's got to be the one who can transform us and the one who's the resurrection and the life. Too many people add Jesus. They just don't have a revelation of him. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? In other words, he said, guys, check your Facebook page. What's trending on social media? What's the buzz around Nazareth and Galilee? Who posted something about me? And they came back and said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say this. And then Jesus said, but what do you say? Forget about what Facebook says. Forget about what popular opinion says. Forget about what all the experts say. Do you have a personal revelation of who I am? And Peter, under the inspiration of God, said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And catch this, what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Facebook didn't tell you that. The news media didn't convince you of that. You got that revelation from God himself. Listen, today, if transformation is going to take place in our life, we need to get a revelation from God himself of who Jesus really is. We got to knock off all these poor ideas. Listen, those pictures of Jesus that make him look weak and, come on. These ideas and these images of Jesus and all this. Listen, I want to tell you something. He was a man's man. He was the Lord. He was the Savior. He was the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. And today, transformation takes place and resurrection power comes when we get a revelation of who he really is. Jesus said, listen, I could answer your questions, I could deal with your emotions, I could help you with the frustration, or I could just give you a revelation of who I am, because that'll do more than all the... Listen, even if I answer your questions, that won't change your life. Oh, come on. Even if I deal with all your emotions and your frustrations, that won't change your life. What's going to change your life is when you see me for who I am. Listen, the second step to believing and experiencing and beginning the process of transformation and resurrection in our life is not only do we need a revelation who Jesus is, but secondly, we need to make a declaration of faith about Jesus. I know people who believe and say, yeah, Jesus is the Savior. He died on the cross. He rose again. But they've never personally declared it with their mouth and with their heart, and made it personal. You know, I've talked to a lot of people in hospitals and people near the end of their lives, and I'm quick to say to them, are you prepared and ready for eternity? And oftentimes they'll say, do you know Jesus? Do you believe? Oh, yeah. Went to church. My uncle's a pastor. Everybody has an uncle who's a pastor. I'm always amazed at that. I know Jesus is, I know the Easter story, I know about the death, the cross, and then I say to them, but can you point to a moment in a day when you made him not just the Lord, but your Lord? Can you point to a moment when you declared out of your mouth and you confessed out of your heart that Jesus is not just a Messiah or a Lord, or he's the Savior, the Lord, but he is my Savior and he is my Lord. What did Martha have to do? For Martha to move from the human side to also the hopeful side, is she not only needed to know that he was the resurrection of life, then she had to declare out of her mouth, yes, Lord, I personally choose to believe that. I believe. I don't know about my sister. I don't know about all the people that are here. But I personally make a declaration of faith for my life. Today, if you want to experience weeping to joy, if you want to experience defeat to victory, if you want to move from despair to hope, if you want to see positive change in your life and transformation and resurrection life and a new life in life, today it requires a revelation of Jesus as the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, but it also requires a declaration out of your mouth. Romans 10:11 says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Salvation and transformation starts with declaration, confessing with our mouth. Remember the hardest thing that had to happen with Peter was when they were taking Jesus away. He said, you're with him. And he said, oh, no. If someone came up to you and said, are you one of those Jesus people? Are you one of those people believing that stuff? Do people know you came this morning to church? Oh, well, they might say it's okay because it's Easter. But are you one of those people? Are we going to be the one to say, I'm proud to declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Messiah, my King. I don't know about anybody else. There has to be a personal declaration. Thirdly, revelation of who Jesus is. I am the resurrection. Second, declaration. Yes, Lord. I believe. And then transformation. Jesus then says to Mary and Martha and the people there, roll away the stone. Now, he was giving them a preview of his own resurrection. He was giving them a preview of Easter, the first one. He said, take away the stone. And you know what the response was? Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. That's what the King James says. He stinketh. You know what the modern version of that is? He stinks. And let me say this. Death stinks. Oh, come on. I got Bible on that. That's Bible chapter and verse. Death stinks. But listen to me. But it doesn't have the last say. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And then he said this, Lazarus, come forth. Now, you've heard it said before, but it bears repeating. If he would have just said, come forth, how many know everybody in their graves would have rose. But he had to single out Lazarus so all the graves didn't. Let me tell you a cute little story since Andrew was here this morning. And Allison, good to have you guys here. When we got our first dog, we were deciding on names. And Andrew came up with the idea he wanted to name our first dog Lazarus. And after we shook our head a few times, he said, why in the world do you want to name your dog the dog Lazarus? Because think how much fun we could have saying, Lazarus, come forth! That's a true story. Lazarus, come forth. And then he had the audacity, Jesus, to say, take off the grave clothes and let him walk free. Actually, the King James says, loose him. Take off the grave clothes. Untie all that bandaging all around him and let him free. Listen to me this morning. If we want to move from weeping to joy, if we want to move from despair to hope, if we want to move from defeat to victory, if we want to move into resurrection and new life, if we want to experience transformation, yes, we need a revelation of who Jesus is, of the resurrection of life. We need then to make a personal declaration of faith in our heart. But then how many know we need to allow Jesus to call us out of our darkness and into his light? We need to allow Jesus to take off the grave clothes of our old life, to strip off the sins and the the habits and the destructive behaviors and lifestyle that we all get entangled with. We need to allow Jesus to take them off our life and to put on a new garment, the garment of righteousness, peace, and hope in the Holy Spirit, and transform our life from death to life, from darkness to light, and out of the grave clothes, so that we can live in newness of life. If any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is and is becoming a new creation. Old things can pass away, and old things can become new. Listen, we need to be a point where we know who Jesus is. Then we make a personal declaration. And then we say, Jesus, you know what? There's some things in my life that need to change. You're not going to beat me up and condemn me because I messed up. You're not going to beat me up and condemn me because I'm not perfect and I make mistakes, or maybe there's some habits and some destructive behaviors or bad choices I've made. Maybe I've messed up and made some mistakes. But if we will turn them over to Jesus, he can take off those grave clothes and loose us into freedom of the garments of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All of us, listen to me, all of us live on the human side of life. But all of us can also live on the hopeful side of life. You don't have to only live on the human side. Too many people today are all living, it's kind of like when I grew up in New York City in the Bronx, and everybody lived on top of each other. In tenement houses and apartment buildings. They even bury you on top of each other in the cemeteries because there's no room. Everybody lives in a city. You drive about 40 miles out into the country and there's nobody. Well, all of humanity seems to be living on the human side of life. Wallowing in their questions and emotions and frustration, which are real and honest, and it's okay to be human. It's okay to be human. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to get angry. It's okay to get frustrated. It's okay to be emotional. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't want to stay living only on that side of life, on top of everybody trying to figure it all out. I'd rather move a little further out into the country of faith and say, I'm not only going to live in the human side because I'm human, but I'm also going to live on the hopeful side of life. Let me ask you this question. Here's my question in conclusion. Which side of life are we living? Martha started out only in the human side. But then she moved and said, you know what? I'm going to buy me a condo in the country. Everybody in Michigan knows what it's like to have a house and then have something up north. Come on. Think of it that way. We all live in the human side. We got our primary residence. We're all human. But you know what? God wants to give us residence, a getaway place, an up north spot on the hopeful side. Come on, how many would like to have a spiritual up north place on the hopeful side of life? Don't stay only on the human side. Move on up like George Jefferson. Now I'm dating myself. To the east side, to the hopeful side of life. Listen, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. When they took Jesus off the cross, he breathed his last breath. They took him down from the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They put a huge stone. They sealed it shut. They put guards around it. Guess what? It was over. It was the last chapter of the story, fade to black. But what does the resurrection mean to us today? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ say to us today? You know what it says? That no matter where we're living, no matter what's going on in our humanity, no matter what's going on, no matter what questions, emotions, and frustrations we have, no matter where we are today, no matter what's going on in our life, we can move from the human side to the hopeful side. Listen, it doesn't have to be, it's over. Guess what? You know what the resurrection means to us? When it looks like it's over, it ain't over. Now that's really poor grammar, but that's great theology. When it looks like it's over, the resurrection says, wait a minute, it ain't over. You know what the resurrection says? No matter what chapter of the story of our life we're in right now, it ain't the last chapter. How many would like to write a new chapter? How many would like to experience a new day, a new chapter, a new beginning? Listen, it starts with what we believe. I'll pick you up. No, I won't do that. I need you here the next 2 weeks because you got to hear all three parts. The first step, because this is a process. Things aren't going to change over in one night. And it may not all change in 3 weeks, but you can have the principle and the beginning process of how to begin to move in that way. And I'll tell you what, if we will trust God over these next 3 weeks, I believe he can move us from despair to hope, from weeping to joy, from despair and from defeat to victory. He can bring transformation to our life. And we can move from the human side to the hopeful side if we will believe. Look at what the last verse of the story that we read in John says, then many which came and had seen the things Jesus did believed on him. Now I want you to notice this. There was only many. I like many, but you would think they would all. And I'm not naive to know this morning that not everybody here is going to believe. Some of us are going to choose not to believe, to walk out of here today on Easter Resurrection Sunday and say, it was nice, I went to church on Easter, and that was a nice sermon, and he got really emotional, he's going to need to take his suit to the dry cleaner. And I'm glad I went to church, but you know what? We're going to walk away, and we're going to keep living the same old way we've been living. And nothing's going to change. And everything's going to be the same, and we're going to wonder why, and we're even going to blame God. God, how come? Or we can join the many who will say, I choose to believe. And I'm not only going to choose to believe, but I'm going to declare with my own mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to begin to make the steps and say, Lord, start taking and changing the things in my life and bringing me into new life. And notice they believed on him, not in a church or religion. They believed on him. It's all about Jesus. Someone said, Pastor, don't you like the old song? Notice we did an old song this morning, did some new songs. I like all the songs as long as they're about Jesus. I like the old ones. I like the new ones. I like them all as long as it got Jesus. I don't. If it's new and it doesn't have Jesus in it, I don't like it. But if it's old and it doesn't have Jesus in it, I don't like it. Because they believed on him, Jesus. Bow your head with me. Close your eyes. Which side of life are we living today? Only the human side? Or will we choose to believe and move to the hopeful side? The next 2 weeks, we'll give you two more B words. Today it was believe. Say believe. Believe. The same question Jesus asked Martha at the tomb of Lazarus is the same question I'm going to ask everybody here today at the tomb of Jesus on this Easter Sunday morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Will you choose to believe today? Despite the questions, which are okay to have, despite the emotions, which are okay to have, Jesus didn't beat them up for it. He didn't condemn them for it. Despite the frustrations, will you have the courage to say like Martha, Lord, I believe.